This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we're live. It's Friday, February 21st, 2020. It's been a heavy week in my world. I want to acknowledge the death of Dr. Amy Harwick, who was an incredible sex therapist and sex educator. She was murdered by her ex-boyfriend on Saturday. He's currently in custody, charged with that murder. And it was a brutal event. And I just know that lots of people in my community, both here in Los Angeles and around the country, are grieving for this devastating loss. She was one of those people who was like a bright, shiny light and is gone too soon. There is a change.org petition circulating to strengthen laws around restraining orders that some folks are doing in her name. We'll try to post that link on our Twitter for you guys to see. But I just want to acknowledge her death, which is awful. And I want to say we're going to talk about also some heavy stuff on today's show. So take care of yourselves. And please reach out and get support if you're hurting over that death. Let me tell you about today's guest. Candace Cox is an LGBTQ activist, author, model, and TV personality. As an activist, she was the only transgender person to meet with former North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory about that state anti-trans bathroom bill. She has also worked with several Fortune 500 companies, the NFL, and universities to help develop LGBTQ inclusive policies. She's the recipient of the Pride Harvey Milk Award and the Human Rights Campaign Fund Person of the Year in 2016. Originally from New York, Candace currently resides in North Carolina, where she said it just snowed and it's freezing. Sorry, North Carolinians. And she lives with her husband, Adam. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Candace?
Thank you so much. I had to mute to prevent from laughing whenever I hear my information read because it's so embarrassing. May I please? No one likes to hear anything about themselves. But I do just want to start off, though, by offering my deepest condolences to all of those who were affected by the loss of the doctor that you had mentioned. And death is just, it's awful. And there's no way to wrap that and make it seem better. So it's terrible and it's awful. And anyone who's affected, it very much in my thoughts and prayers.
Thank you. It's hard out there in the world right now. We are trying to take as many like light moments as we get, but it is, it's hard in the world. I know you know that. So I want to talk a little bit about your background before we dive into politics and policy. You came into this world as what you call a surprise baby. And I wonder if you'll tell me what that means.
So I was a surprise. I was the product of a rape. So my mom was in college, and she was not looking to have a child. And so I was a surprise, but a welcome surprise. Nothing I'm ashamed of from where I came from, but I was not planned. And to me, that's always important because I sometimes feel as though it helped define a lot of who I am even today, where I accept things and I try to be more go with the flow. And I feel as though I've been blessed to understand that good things can come from bad things. That was taught to me when, you know, my mother was very upfront and honest as to why I didn't have a father in my life. And it was because of that, but that she didn't harbor any ill will because the best thing that ever happened in her life was me. Her words, not mine.
And it sounds like you grew up in a home with some pretty extraordinary women, all the way back to your grandma.
My bestie. And she's listening. So yay. I did. So my mother is a lesbian, and she and my stepmother, who have been together since I was 12, along with my grandmother and my aunt, have been my collective group of mothers who taught me to be unapologetically authentic and true to myself and to hold myself to the highest standard. And they're the ones who taught me that it's an ugly world, and being Black meant I was going to see the ugliest sides of it, and then later coming out as transgender. But they taught me that the love that comes from within and the love that comes from your family is something that is unshakable, and that in order to be strong and in order to be respected and to be successful in this world, before you ever profess anything about who you are, you have to learn how to define that and identify that, and also understand your critics and your enemies and what they have to say, because that makes you better at defining and defending who you are. So they're really awesome women. I love them.
When did you figure out that your mom was lesbian?
I counter that always to say to people, when did you figure out that your parents were lesbians or gay or straight? It was far less of a figuring out. I just knew. It was around third grade that I learned that there was a word for what I had known always as the people who loved me, who raised me, who taught me right from wrong, who gave me an allowance, who grounded me. They were called lesbians. I just called them Mom and Sandy and parent, and I thought that's what mattered. And it was also around third grade that I learned that lesbian was bad. So around third grade was when I realized that my mom, my parents, were different from other people's parents.
I'm just wondering if her being a lesbian for you was made it a little bit easier for you to come out as your authentic self, since it was kind of modeled for you.
No, absolutely not. It didn't. And the reason that it didn't is my mom taught me something that I think is invaluable, and it's something that I try to pass on to LGBTQ plus people today. And that is that your gender identity, your sexuality, none of those things have bearing on who you are, what you are, what matters most. They have not, they correlate to none of that. So it was something that there was no emphasis placed on. My mom was not a walking gay pride parade. And me coming out to my parents still had a lot of fear and insecurity, and that has so much more to do with society. Society tells us that things are wrong, and all too often, and what we're seeing especially today, right now, in this country, is the influence that society and politics and politicians and all of the rhetoric that we have surrounding gender and sexuality, that seems to be overtaking what, you know, families have even instilled in them. So that's what I experienced, you know. For me, coming out to my parents as transgender was made no easier because they were lesbians, because I had all of the fear and the negative connotation, and ultimately I didn't want to disappoint my parents. And my mother had a boy. She had a little boy, and my whole life it was, you know, planning for a little boy, and I didn't want to let them down. I didn't want to let anyone down, and I feared that coming out as transgender would let people down.
Which is based entirely, like you said, on the stigma placed on trans folks in society and the misunderstanding and the fear. I thank you for sharing that story so honestly, because I think even for those of us who are super out in the world now, I think sometimes they imagine like we all just slid out the closet real easily, right? Because of how we present to the world now.
Yeah, no. And I tell people, the way I came to be who I am today and to be so authentic but so vocal didn't come from a place of exceptional security and strength. It came from a place of exceptional insecurity. And some people, the way they deal with insecurity is they hide, they shy away from, they try to mask it, they try to, you know, be something that they're not. The way I deal with my insecurity is I own it. I'm Black. I cannot hide the fact that I'm Black. Going to an all-white school, all-white summer camps, I had insecurities. My mom was in college and medical school when I was younger. We had no money. I was insecure about that. I'm tall. I was insecure about that. And all those things are things that I couldn't hide. So I had to learn, own it. And that's what I ended up doing. And I think a lot of people out today who own it, that's kind of what they do. It's like, I can't hide who I am. So the way I deal with my insecurity is I own it. You know, you can't hurt my feelings if it's very obvious that I know who I am and I'm not ashamed to tell people who I am.
Amen to that. Okay, we're going to take our first commercial break. And I want to shout out The Pleasure Chest, which is one of my sponsors for this show and has been supporting this show from a really, really early on. Please support them back, pleasurechest.com. We are going to talk more with Candace Cox when we get back.
Is it February already? Okay, well, that means V-Day is on the way. Brush up on your pleasure IQ with Pleasure Chest's V-Day Q&A. Just follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on social media and ask them anything, literally anything, on oral, anal, BDSM, and making out. Surprise your sweetheart with some new pleasure tips, toys, and tricks. And don't forget, there's lots of ways to turn your love, lust, and passion into the perfect present. heat up your V-Day and get closer with their curated couples kits. Receive a free gift, the exclusive WeVibe toy bag with all WeVibe toy purchases in stores and online through February 11th while supplies last. Are you maybe a last minute lover? Not to worry. Pleasure Chest is offering free 2-day shipping February 6th through the 10th so you can get it in time for V-Day. No time to wrap? Get your love on the run with their pre-wrapped couples kits available through Valentine's Day. You can find all of this and more at pleasurechest.com.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking to LGBTQ activist Candace Cox. Also, I just got an inside scoop that you guys don't know anything about, which is really exciting. So let me just say we're going to be hearing more from her in the future. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So you became famous because you were very out in public as part of all of the activism around the anti-trans bathroom bill in North Carolina. And you actually got to meet with the former governor, Pat McCrory, about that. My first question, though, is what is it like to live in North Carolina? Because I know you're from New York. I feel like you are in sort of the belly of, in some cases, the Bible Belt, although it's kind of the upper Bible Belt, but also the sort of some of these battleground states where there's a lot of political division.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. North Carolina. So North Carolina is a very big battleground state. We do not go red or blue consistently, which is really frustrating at times. And the RNC is going to be here in North Carolina for this next upcoming election. So that should be interesting. But living in North Carolina, so North Carolina, it's my home. My family, everyone that I love is here. And I never want to bash North Carolina. And I always want people who aren't from here to know all of the wonderful things about North Carolina and the South, because I love so much of it. But I would have to say, being honest, that aside from loving it, you know, the weather, the people, the culture, it has an ugly side and an ugly past. We know the history of, you know, the American South and the Civil War and going all the way through, you know, antebellum and Reconstruction and all of that. And North Carolina has some ugly, reminiscent parts of that. The largest Ku Klux Klan active organization is 30 miles from where I live. And usually people who aren't from anywhere around here, you know, are jarred by that. But I live in a very metropolitan area, so I'm very unaware of them and removed. But at the same time, whenever something comes up in the media about them protesting or they show up, it's a reminder that I still live in a place where the N-word is still very much a part of the colloquialism when referring to African Americans, and that a lot of the people who have ignorant biases against people who are immigrants, they live here. And being gay, being trans, being LGBTQ+, being anything other than cis, white, heteronormative is going to be met with a lot of difficulty. And ever since Donald Trump was elected or placed into office, that has stepped up. We've seen that nationwide, but here in North Carolina especially, it's become okay to express ugly. So it's trying right now living here. And I live here with a lot of privilege. But for those who don't, it's bad. There's no services, there's no help, and there's no protection in North Carolina laws for discrimination.
So let's talk about the law, because there was a ton of coverage about these anti-bathroom bills in North Carolina and in other states, but North Carolina was especially kind of in focus and in front when we talked about it nationally. So you're in the room with Governor Pat McCrory. What was that like?
Truthfully, it was frustrating and surreal because less of I'm in here with the governor in the lion's den. Surreal because he admitted so many things. And that was surreal. He admitted that he hadn't fully read the bill before he signed it into law.
Oh.
that I was sitting there, and it's only 3 pages, and I'm sorry, what? And surreal to have him sitting. You always want to think that if someone says something that is completely egregious or just like mind-blowingly offensive, that if you could sit down face-to-face with them and confront them, that they would not hold their ground. And sitting face-to-face with him, he was fumbling over his words, still kind of trying to hold his ground about, you know, it's not about discrimination against people, and that's not what this is for, and we're just trying to protect people. And then somehow trying to twist it that it was protecting LGBTQ plus people as well. So it was rather surreal, but it wasn't frustrating. And it was very comical to see the look on his face when I told him that I was transgender. Because, yeah.
And you'd think in the room he would soften. I agree with you that when you get in front of people can say the meanest shit about you online, and they do. But then when you get in a room with them, they're less likely to be sort of that hostile and virulent. But he didn't soften. It's fascinating when sort of confronted with a real life person who you are backing legislation who it harms, that you could even justify it.
Yeah, and what was more frustrating for me was throughout the life of HB2, opponents to people such as myself who wanted it repealed and replaced with protective measures consistently wanted statistics citing instances where the bill actually harmed someone, you know, having this bill. Can you tell me about, you know, you going in a bathroom being harmed? Like, is this real? And
right.
I'm like, no, and thank God. And why do we need, and that's something that we as a nation, we are a reactionary society in this country where we only want to know that something bad has happened because then it gives us cause to get behind and say, okay, now we support measures to say that this is bad or we need to do something, unless you're talking about guns and we're not going to go there. But no, nothing bad has happened to me yet as I'm sitting here in front of you. Thank God. I'm trying to get you to see that this bill would make it so that something bad could happen.
Right. And also
and
the narrative of people, the narrative of like young people or other people being assaulted by trans people in bathrooms. It's like when you ask those people to line up, there is literally no one there. I mean, it's a projection. It's fear. It's transphobia. It is like a made up concept by these legislators and by other anti-trans folks to try to sort of stir that up in people, stir their own fears when it's not based in reality.
Absolutely. And I think it's extremely important to point out to people that HB2 was not an attack on the trans community in their intentions. It was an attack on LGBTQ plus people in retaliation for what they perceived was liberal lobbying and this nation kind of going to sin with the Supreme Court ruling that same-sex marriage had been legalized across the nation. And North Carolina had actually passed Amendment 1 a few years earlier that defined marriage as between a man and a woman. So that law, at the Supreme Court's ruling, struck down that law here as well as the rest of the country. And conservatives wanted to get back at LGBTQ plus people, and they couldn't attack gay or lesbian. So they went to the next letter, looked it up on Wikipedia. Oh, it's trans. We'll attack that. But in the eyes of our oppressors, there is no difference between trans. If you can discriminate, discrimination is discrimination. They don't discriminate against trans and say, but I'm cool with lesbians and gay guys and black people. You discriminate against one group of people, I guarantee you that when you're at home, you discriminate against everybody else. And that's what they were just attacking the LGBTQ plus community.
And unfortunately, these bathroom bills were fought and there were victories. But as we look at the current state of affairs in politics and policies, there is almost an obsessive-like quality to the number of legislation that's currently floating around that also discriminates against trans folks. So I want to talk about that in our next segment, but first we've got to take another break. I want to remind you guys that if you follow me on Instagram at Tristan Taramino, right now I'm giving away a free autographed copy of the new book, Believe Me, How Trusting Women Can Change the World. It's an amazing collection by editors Jessica Valenti and Jacqueline Friedman. And all you have to do is like go over there and comment, and it's super easy, and you have until tomorrow, Saturday at noon Pacific time. So roll on over there and enter that contest and you can get a free book. Stay with us, more with Candace Cox in a minute. Hi, everyone. Tristan here. Hey, lube makes everything better. Duh. And I mean everything. Vaginal and anal penetration, hand jobs, hand sex, masturbation, fingering, grinding, oral sex. You name it, lube will improve it. When you're choosing a lube, you want one with high-quality ingredients. UberLube is silicone with a little vitamin E. That's it. No parabens, no petrochemicals, no strange things you can't pronounce. I have a very sensitive pussy, and that is not a metaphor. It's easily irritated, and plenty of lubes I've tried just do not agree with me. I like UberLube because it's scent-free, flavorless, simple ingredients, and long-lasting. Plus, it's got a pump, which is easy to use and hygienic because you're not always touching the top of it. Oh, and it will not stain clothing or bedding. Any spills can be cleaned up with detergent and water. Right now, UberLube is offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code Tristan at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use code Tristan at UberLube. UberLube.com. UberLube lets you feel what you want to feel. Hey everyone, it's Tristan here. I don't know about you, but my stress level is higher than I'd like it to be. Mindfulness is a trendy buzzword these days, but how does one actually practice mindfulness when it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day? Mindfulness asks you to pause, come into your body, and just breathe. It's one of the best things you can do to help you focus on all areas of your life, whether that's taking care of your body, getting more sleep, or finally starting that project that's been on your list for a while. I've got a lot of those. Mindfulness decreases my stress and helps me focus better when I'm surrounded by plenty of stuff to distract me. Calm is the number one app for sleep, relaxation, and meditation. They have real tools like guided meditations, breathing and movement exercises, soothing music, and sleep stories to help you begin a mindfulness practice. Sometimes all you need is a little nudge or some guidance, and it's right there on your phone or tablet. And luckily, Calm is offering you, my listeners, a really sweet deal. A special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/Tristan. That's 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library, hundreds of hours of programming, and new content is added every week. Get started today at calm.com/Tristan. That's calm.com/Tristan. Relax, de-stress, and find your peace with Calm.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with author, model, TV personality, and LGBTQ plus advocate Candace Cox, who really became prominent in the national scene around one of these anti-trans bathroom bills. The thing is, the same folks who are behind those bills have been very, very busy lately. So according to the ACLU, there is current legislation that has been written and is somewhere in the legislative process that discriminates against trans folks. There are bills to prohibit healthcare for transgender individuals, 14 of them. There are four bills currently to limit bathrooms to single sex only. There are 20 bills to exclude trans people from athletics, especially trans youth. Two bills to put restrictions on identification documents and how trans people can negotiate changing their gender, for example, on their ID. And then seven other pieces of legislation that are just anti-trans other. For example, HB 2082 in Arizona is being put forth to argue that at a public school, no one who works at that school, including a teacher or a superintendent or the principal, has to use the pronoun that a student requests that they use, that they are only required under this bill by the state to use the pronoun consistent with what appears on their government ID and their birth certificate, which is bullshit, of course. So Candace, what I want to ask you about is why, like, it feels like it's not only like continuing, but it's like heating up. It feels like legislators are going after trans folks in a really big way right now. And why do you think that that's happening?
I think a big part of why it's happening is because of the mainstream success that we are seeing in LGBTQ plus people, which we haven't gotten to where we need to be, but certainly a lot better than it has been, and we're gaining prominence, you know, RuPaul, and I think that's got to do with it. I also think that the attack on women that we're seeing right now has to do with it, because LGBTQ plus, I always like to think that it falls under that umbrella of things that one should just never be. You shouldn't be of color. You should not be a woman. You should not be gender, anything that's not male. We're all under that little umbrella over there. So I do think I can't say that we are only attacking trans people right now in this nation with the legislation that we're seeing, because they're coming for all of us. And by us, I mean the others. But yeah, and a big part of why I think it's happening right now is because Donald Trump is making it okay. It's okay to air your fear and insecurity and masquerade it as protecting something, which it's more egregious to me that we are not even actually doing our job as a nation and as a people and adhering to our Constitution that our founding fathers actually envisioned. We are creating laws that are not protecting citizens, but are isolating citizens, segregating citizens. We are creating another form of segregation, and we should never have passed laws, and we never should pass laws like that. They wonder how we had all of these systems of racial discrimination and this class system in, you know, Southeast Asia and in Africa that was set up by white Europeans. And I'm like, it was because of laws like those laws that you mentioned. That's how that gets started.
Yeah, it does. And it also seems to me that when reading the text of this legislation is a kind of like it's like a desire to actually erase trans folks, to entirely invalidate their selves. I mean, to me, in reading some of the legislation that says, like, we want to deny healthcare to trans folks, or companies who have religious objections can, you know, deny healthcare to trans folks, it's like saying we can deny healthcare to human beings in this certain class of people. So there's like this entire sort of erasure of equality and of equity. And the same thing I think is happening with the sports stuff is that there's this notion that we have to protect all the cis people who might not win their track meet. And obviously that track meet can go several levels up and could be in the Olympics. But this notion that like cis people now need to be protected from trans people when it is absolutely entirely the other way around. And trans people are victimized and brutalized and experience violence at the hands of trans people at an incredibly high rate in this country. I know you know that. I don't need to tell you that, but I'm going to restate it for the audience. So the notion that cis people need to be protected from trans people seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's the highest that we have ever seen. The largest demographic group within the LGBTQ plus community that currently is facing bodily harm and death is trans women of color. And it is mind-blowing to say that we are actually seeing more trans women of color being murdered today than we were 30 years ago. So we've not become progressive. So you're absolutely right that the last thing we need to do is to protect other people from transgender individuals. And furthermore, we really desperately need for our lawmakers, at least them, if the voters are not going to educate themselves, lawmakers should. And that way they can stop saying things that are complete fallacies. Like, I've seen argument after argument that says that men have a biological advantage over women, and that's why they want to say that trans people cannot compete in their presented and the gender that they are, because it may give them an unfair advantage because they are genetically or biologically predisposed to be faster. And I'm like, that could not be the furthest thing from the truth. Flo Jo, I'm like, I guarantee you she's faster than I ever could be in my life. And yeah, I'm like, we do not need protecting trans people from anything. The only thing that we need to be talking about doing is expanding our protective classes. It is so arcane that we're still just looking at, you know, you cannot discriminate or do something based on race, religion, sex, national origin, veteran status. We have got to expand that because we are expanding what it means to be human. And we are actually doing something in this country more and more. And that is we're allowing people to define themselves and who they are.
Well, you brought up religion. And one of the things that we see when we get deeper into who is supporting some of these bills, who is funding some of the push to get these bills through local legislatures, there is a religious faction of folks behind it. And so the next thing I want to talk about is faith. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to let that just simmer for a little bit with you. We're going to take a break and hear from the rest of my sponsors. I also want to shout out my two other sponsors for this episode, Uber Lube, which just sent me a box of lube that I could try if I might. I may not be able to finish by the end of my life. There are so many bottles. And also Calm, the app calm.com. You know, both of these are incredible organizations, and I just really appreciate their support. I've got coupon codes, I've got discounts, I've got deals for you. Listen to the commercials, and then, you know, go try those things out. So stay with us. We're going to talk about religion and faith and God when we come back.
Is it February already? Okay, well, that means V-Day is on the way. Brush up on your pleasure IQ with Pleasure Chest's V-Day Q&A. Just follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on social media and ask them anything, literally anything, on oral, anal, BDSM, and making out. Surprise your sweetheart with some new pleasure tips, toys, and tricks. And don't forget, there's lots of ways to turn your love, lust, and passion into the perfect present. Heat up your V-Day and get closer with their curated couples kits. Receive a free gift, the exclusive WeVibe toy bag with all WeVibe toy purchases in stores and online through February 11th while supplies last. Are you maybe a last-minute lover? Not to worry. Pleasure Chest is offering free two-day shipping February 6th through the 10th so you can get it in time for V-Day. No time to wrap? Get your love on the run with their pre-wrapped couples kits available through Valentine's Day. You can find all of this and more at pleasurechest.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I would love to hear your comments, your questions. Do you have a problem and you need it solving? Or maybe you have an idea for a guest. You can call me day or night at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. I'm back with Candace Cox, LGBTQ activist, author, model, TV personality. And before the break, I brought up God, which, you know, I said I would do a softball fourth segment for Candace. So here we are. you know, there's supposed to be separation of church and state in our country. We see countless examples of how that is not actually adhered to. And one of the ways we see it is because some of the ways that this legislation is written, especially in terms of discriminating against trans folks and even queer folks, is people are allowed to have a religious objection. So if you have a religious objection, you don't have to make the wedding cake. And if you have a religious objection, you don't have to cover that person's birth control. And now if you have a religious objection, you don't have to cover trans-affirming healthcare for a trans person. So religion is in the mix here, whether we want it to be or not. Candace, where do you stand on this issue of faith and religion?
So, as someone who was born and raised Catholic, I went to Catholic school. I'm still a very proud practicing Catholic today. I like to say, first and foremost, that anyone who says that religion allows them to refuse anything or to not do something, religion does not at all allow you to do anything of the sort, at least not anything to do with any denomination falling under the Christianity umbrella. So that is not God. That's not Christ. That's not the Bible teaching you that. That's your own ignorance, and you need to own it and not try to cover it up by saying that your faith has taught you that, because the same God that you are claiming tells you can discriminate is the same God that tells me that I have every right to exist and to be loved and respected. So one of us is going to have to lose this fight, and I got news for you. I'm pretty articulate. So that's my thoughts. That's where I stand with religion.
And what do people say when they find out that you're a practicing, proud Catholic?
But you know what the church says about LGBTQ+. That is literally verbatim. But you know what the church says, to which I say to people, yes, I know what mortal men have said about LGBTQ+ and in their interpretation of the Bible, but I know what the important teachings are. I believe that, you know, we can look at the Bible and we can take the overall teachings. That is not to say that I don't believe the Bible, but let's face it, what we're reading today, no matter which version, is so far from the original teachings of Christ. You know, no one speaks Aramaic today. So, yeah, I tell people, you can't, you can't sit there and say what the Catholic Church says. And it's a part of my history. It's part of who I am. My family's Catholic. And I'm not going to let go of my history because of my gender identity. Again, as my mother taught me, that doesn't define who you are.
Is there an opportunity as an advocate for a bridge here? Do you think that there are Catholics who are currently anti-LGBTQ who are willing to have those conversations with someone like you, with a trans Catholic, with a trans Catholic woman?
So I actually have. I've had several conversations. I will say that within my own denomination, that they don't always go over well. But I've actually sat down several times. One time, notably, I did a reality show where they sat me down with some evangelical ministers and had me by myself sort of defend everything hippy dippy liberal. So not just being trans, but anything that they would attack, which is pretty much everything. And they were shocked because they first wanted to use their weapon of choice was, you know, Bible verses, and I was able to fire all of those back at them. And I've done the same thing when talking with Catholics who aren't quite ready to make that progressive leap. But it all boils down to, I tell Christians, Muslims, Jews, you know, atheists, remove religion. We have an obligation as people, as humans, to love one another. And something that you said at the beginning was about the loss of life. And I've experienced the loss of loved ones in my own life. And what that has taught me is it really doesn't matter at the end of the day who you like, who you don't like, what you agree with, what you don't agree with. When you are faced with the ending of your mortality, your earthly self, you are not going to like jump up and say, by the way, thank God, I'm going to heaven and the gays are going to hell. Those things don't matter. And in life, those things don't matter. We all occupy this little blue and green ball flying through space, and we have to exist together, and none of us have any superiority over the other.
I'm wondering, though, because the country is so divided, it has been divided before, absolutely, and partisan politics have been at play, you know, since the birth of what we know as the United States. But it's really hostile and really hateful right now. And so it seems to me if people could have these conversations within faith communities, there may be a way to break this down, to stop thinking of it as kind of us versus them, and also to maybe just transcend these like arguments from the Bible, like the quoting the verses back and forth. Like I just want people to have the same rights. Do you know what I mean? Like I just want people to have equity and equitable lives. So I feel like how do we get to a conversation that even that transcends that, but within faith communities, which I think are a place that really radical action could happen because these are really important to people's lives.
I think the way that we get there is we have to actually value and we have to respect the fact that there is a need to talk and we have to want to have dialogue and there have to be people who want to have dialogue. A big part of why we have division is because fear has been allowed to fester in this nation and with people. And that when we're scared, you know, we close ourselves off. We don't want to open up and we have to let go of that fear and we have to just be willing to talk to one another. We can't have objectives, you know. I can't have an objective talking to other Catholics who don't agree with me. It's not about a win or lose. It's just about listening to one another because when we listen to each other, not talk to, but listen, oftentimes we can hear what the actual problem that they have is. And what I find all too often is that they just don't quite understand it, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I, as a trans person, am so foreign from them, they don't know enough. All they know is a dude in a dress or a he-she or, you know, they have all these, like, images in their mind, but their world, there's not open out trans people or gay or anything. And it all just comes from not knowing. You know, when they find out that I'm Christian, they're blown away. Wait, you guys are allowed to be Christian too? And I'm like, yes, we do. We drive cars as well. Like, it's amazing. But once you get to know each other, that's what it comes down to. We have to get to know each other, see each other as people without the labels. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Christian, you know, agnostic, like anything. None of that matters. I want to connect with you as a person. And as a person, our founding fathers, I got to give it to them. They put it in writing so beautifully. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When we look at each other, let's just look for those three things. Like, how are you in your life? Are you experiencing liberty? And is there any obstacle to your pursuit of happiness? I don't care about the labels. The labels do not define who you are.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, Candace. You know, you guys can hire Candace to talk somewhere. Like, I know there's students out there and there's organizations out there. And so I want to tell people how to get you. Her official website is CandiceCox.com. I'm going to spell it. CandiceCox.com. On Twitter, she's Candice_Cox. On Facebook, Candice Cox Official. Thanks so much, Candice. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. It's much fun. I thank you. And yes, you can hire me all over the world. So.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Andrew, my engineer. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. My guest will be Angelica Lindsay Ali, a.k.a. the Village Auntie. She's on the board of directors of the Muslim Wellness Foundation, and she offers workshops on traditional approaches to sexuality within the framework of traditional West and East African societies. That should be a great one. Until next time, catch me on social media at Tristan Taramino across all platforms, and the show is on social media on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Talk to you next week.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.